Because it's too good not to share, I have to share with you with what Harper shared with me up front. Harper asked me a question. She said, I have a really good question for you. Is Jesus both left-handed and right-handed? And I said, I don't know, I'll have to think about it. And she said, go ahead and think about it. And if you don't know, ask Pastor Mark. Oh, Harper, I love it. I love it. And that has nothing to do with the sermon today, but I had to share it. Besides maybe the joy of watching our community grow and the patience that the Lord has indeed with us, I grew up in a small farming community in southern Idaho, and the place that my mother and father bought was a couple lots in this small town, Eden, of all places. And before we owned the place, some farmers from Arkansas had moved and traveled the country, moved west, and in the 1930s had planted an orchard on what became the place I grew up on. And so when my two younger brothers and I were playing, we would play in the midst of all these fruit trees. There were apricot trees, peach trees, apple trees, pears, and there was a line of grapes, and then all around the perimeter were cherries, and these cherries were terrible. They were terrible. They were for the birds. And yet, I remember one spring, I was pretty young, one spring where the peach tree, one of the peach trees, it was slower in its bloom. There were not many leaves that year, and we didn't plant the orchard. We really had no idea how to care for these trees and care for the land like the people who planted it. And so the best wisdom we had to offer was, let's see what happens next year. We didn't do anything. And next spring, that peach tree was worse. Fewer leaves, fewer blooms. And then on the third year, that peach tree was no more. We didn't know how to care for it. Even though we were patient, we were waiting for something to change, something to be different. In our story this morning, we heard Jesus speaking about patience, and his patience was very unlike ours, where we just resolved to do nothing. Jesus, on the other hand, promises a proactive patience. He gets involved. He nurtures, he fertilizes, he helps something grow and to become what he intends it to become. Let's listen to that section of the scriptures again. Jesus told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he didn't find any. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I don't see any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And we might say, why should it use up the water also? And the gardener answered him, sir, leave it alone this year. I'll dig around it, and I'll put some manure as fertilizer around it. And then if it should grow and bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. What a good picture of the patience that Jesus has for each one of us. For we know there have been many times in our lives where there have been seasons of fruit bearing and seasons where we did not bear fruit. And yet right before this beautiful picture of the patience of Jesus, we hear a story of urgent repentance where Jesus is telling people, change before it's too late. Don't wait. Now is the time to repent. And all throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is inviting people into the kingdom of God now and forever. And time and again, Jesus is displaying what the kingdom looks like, how to receive it like a child. And he desires for all to be included in this beautiful, peaceful reign of God. And the warning that Jesus gives is urgent because we don't always have extra time. We won't know if we have extra days to change our lives, our trajectory later on. Things happen. Bad things. Death. Sickness. Failures. Rejection. And when we are faced with these bad things, we frequently ask, why? Why me? Why did this happen? Why is this happening to those people? A similar question was asked of Jesus, or at least implied in the first half of our reading. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" How many times have you and I heard the answer, yes? Yes, of course. Look what happened to them. Isn't there cause and effect? Why would such a thing happen to them if they weren't worse sinners? And yet Jesus says, no. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then Jesus brings up a story from their local news cycle about 18 people who were crushed when a tower near the pool of Siloam falls on them. And Jesus says, do you think that those people, those 18, were any worse offenders than all the other people in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. No. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Were these people worse people? Is that why the bad stuff happened to them? Did they deserve it? Jesus says, no. No, and we're thinking about this all wrong. We're thinking like we're trying to figure out who to blame. And Jesus instead is saying, there's only a short amount of time that we have in life. All these stories that Jesus was hearing and sharing, they all share a common thread. The thread is tragedy. The focus that Jesus has isn't on how to blame God or others, but that it was all tragic. And how tragic it is for people to hear about the kingdom of God and to not repent, not change, not turn, and participate in it. So Jesus says time and again, turn, come, be involved in this, receive the kingdom of God here and now, trust me. I mean, after all, are we any better? Are we any better at doing the right goodness so that we might build a wall that would protect us from all bad? Who among us can be so good that you will never have cancer in your family? Who among us can be so good that no one you love would die? None of us. The days are short. The world is broken. And we are sinful. And tragedy happens in this world. We don't know when. We don't know if we'll be involved. And yet we trust that in the midst of tragedy, there is a healer. We trust in what we have seen in Jesus. Indeed, that there is some healing power at work within him, and he shows a patient mercy to you, to me, whatever our story is. And so we turn. We receive the mercy of God and we stay the course, following Him, trusting Him. And when we see or experience tragedy in our world and in our lives, the tragedy will send us to the great healer, toward Jesus, the one who promises to make all things new. For indeed we have seen what He has done to death when He was nailed to a cross. All of death was pinned upon Him. The greatest tragedy happened that day. And yet 3 days later, this Jesus conquered death. If it was true for Him, this gift, this victory, will also be true of His people. Amen. Now may this peace that Jesus brings into your hearts and into your lives sustain you. May you constantly trust in Him, the source of all life, now and forevermore.